one of the loveliest conversations I've ever had was with legendary British comedian John Cleese. He of A Fish Called Wanda, Fawlty Towers, and of course, Monty Python fame. We spoke before a sold-out crowd at the Kennedy Library about his memoir, So Anyway. Truly, the best conversation ever. I even got to reenact a Monty Python skit, and I can say it was also great because you'll never know none of it, mistakenly, was recorded. So we're going to have to settle for the real thing. Here are Cleese's cohorts, Michael Palin, Terry Jones, and Graham Chapman in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Who are you?
We are the knights who say...
Not the knights who say ni.
The same!
Who are they?
We are the keepers of the sacred words. Ni, ping, and ni wom.
Graham Chapman died in 1989. The surviving members of Monty Python did a series of sold-out shows at the O2 Arena in London last year. More tours are coming. And lucky for us, John Cleese's memoir comes out in paperback today. So we are going to reenact our talk. John Cleese, are you there?
I am. I can't remember anything of this. Have we met before, Robin? I couldn't resist saying that.
If you hadn't, I was going to. Well, I'll start with, because there was a huge audience. So, ladies and gentlemen, from KQED in San Francisco, please welcome John Cleese.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, fans. God bless you all.
It doesn't really carry the impact of the large audience that was there.
The sound engineer in here was clapping enthusiastically, but soundlessly. But it was, and someone else is waving through the glass.
All right, there's two.
I once performed to an audience of two at the Edinburgh Festival. There were three of us doing this little review, late-night review, and the producer said to us, it's all right, we're not doing the 6 o'clock show, there's nobody in. So we went down and had a drink, and suddenly the guy ran in and said, no, there's an audience. And we ran upstairs and raced onto the stage singing, and there were two people in the audience. We were outnumbering them.
What were you singing, by the way? Do you remember?
We used to start the show by singing a song called It's the End of the Show, It's Time Now to Go. We hope we brought you laughter and joy. So until we meet you all again next year, it's goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And then somebody came out and said, I'm afraid there's been a few changes in the running order, which I thought was quite a good joke.
Well, that's in the book. So, though, is most of your childhood, every review mentions that fans really wanted to hear a tell-all about Monty Python. The book ends as Monty Python starts. Why did you decide that? Why the memoir?
Well, I'll tell you what, because I decided to write an autobiography. And as I said to people, probably a bit defensively, if I was going to write a book about Monty Python, it would actually be called Monty Python by John Cleese. But if it's John Cleese's autobiography, then I'm afraid you're stuck with the fact that it is about me. And those of you who have no interest in me at all and love only Monty Python should stay well away from the book.
We would disagree, because this childhood that you had, Mom, perhaps at this point you should stretch out on a couch and we'll... because Mom...
I've spent many hours doing that. Well, most of my time in therapy was spent due to my mum, who had many good qualities like punctilious housekeeping, good cooking and all that kind of thing. But she was not, as they say, emotionally available. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the warmth and affection in my life came from my dad, who was much more affectionate physically than you would think of someone, you know, who was born in 1893. But Mum was always was like an unexploded bomb. You never knew what was going to set her off.
Oh dear, I'm going to sort of synopsize. You also discovered that making people laugh was one way to stop them from tormenting you. You were apparently this tall always, 6 foot something.
I was 6 foot when I was 12. And when I first went, because I was an only child of older parents, I'd lived a fairly quiet life. And we'd always moving house, Robin. Once a year we'd move house. So I hadn't made any close friends. So when I went to school, I just didn't fit in very well. I didn't really know how to be a schoolboy. So they gave me a slightly rough time, which was kind of funny when I was being bullied by people literally half my size. But I discovered that if I made them laugh, there's immediately an acceptance and a warmth.
Yeah. Well, you go on to Clifton College, finally Cambridge University. You'd meet the people who'd become central to your life, influenced by what you call the greatest British radio comedy of all time, The Goon Show. We have some of this. This is Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, Spike Milligan. Let's just listen.
Can you hear me over?
Yes, yes. I hear you, Strength 3. Roger.
This is not Roger. Fred Crin. The spirit of adventure now living abroad owing to text.
God, we loved it. You see, when people got really insanely enthusiastic about Python, I understood it because I used to feel exactly the same about The Goon Show. And the extraordinary thing is I used to listen to that when I was 15 or 16, and only about 12 years later I actually knew them all. And I wrote 3 movies for Peter Sellers. I did a show with Harry Secombe. And I got to know Spike Milligan, who was a genius, particularly as a writer. He was a very funny one. And he kind of led the way for Python.
Well, I wonder about some of your other influences. You tell a story. You don't make the connection, but I sort of am. You tell a story of being a young person going back to your school. And there's a beleaguered head of the school who tells you about a teacher they hired who sounds incredibly odd. He's starting to wear mismatched clothing and blurt things out inappropriately and carry a bamboo stick.
And he walks around with a long bamboo cane.
Yeah. Well, then, years later, there's a skit called Beekeepers, in which there's, and we're going to listen to a little of it, in which there's a show host who blurts things out inappropriately. Let's just listen to a little, and then I'm wondering how much you vacuum up from your past. Let's listen.
Tell me, what first interested you in the bee world, Mr. Von Bell? Well, even as a child, I used to...
Shh.
I'm sorry, shouldn't I have said that?
No, of course you should. Pay no attention, please. When I say shh, it's just a nervous mannerism I picked up. If I want you to keep quiet, I will say shush. You were saying?
So
I just love it, don't you? That's Rowan Atkinson, incidentally.
Yes, and this was a reenactment of the skit that was originally on the At Last, the 1948 show.
It's a sketch that Eric Idle and I will be doing on our tour of Florida in October. It's one of my favorite ever sketches.
Oh, I love it.
But it had nothing to do with my childhood.
It didn't, because I just wondered...
No, you're completely wrong there, Robin.
Sorry. But it just
I can't
like...
give you any marks for that one. No, you were way off.
All right. In other places, you talk about how, well, for instance, the parrot skit from Monty Python did come from Michael Palin's car.
Yes, Michael Palin had bought a car from a guy called Gibbons. And Mr. Gibbons was one of those completely slippery people. And if Michael took the car in and sort of said that we're having trouble with the gearbox, he'd say, yeah, well, he says, it's a new car, Mr. Palin. Sticky gearbox, first 5,000 miles is a sign of a great car. And he was just slippery like that. And we wrote it as a second-hand car salesman, Graham and I did. And then we looked at it later and we said, there's something funny about this evasive, slippery character, but, secondhand car's boring. What could it be? And then we suddenly thought, well, maybe it's an animal. It's a pet shop. The animal doesn't work properly. Or maybe it's dead. And then we sort of thought, yeah, that's funny, but what is it? It can't be a dog because people care too much about dogs. I don't like them. I think they're little Nazis, they run up. Hello, master. Who shall I bite next? They just want promotion, And then we said cats. I said, no, I love cats. I can't deal with a dead cat. And then we saw a mice. No, it's too small. And then Graham said, how about a parrot? I said, that's great. Nobody likes parrots, not even people who keep parrots. They don't. They hate their own parrots. So it's a dead parrot. So the secondhand car became a dead parrot.
I wish to complain about this parrot what I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
Oh, yes, the Norwegian Blue. What's wrong with it?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's dead. That's what's wrong with it.
No, it's resting. Look.
Look, my lad, I know a dead parrot when I see one, and I'm looking at one right now.
No, it's not dead. It's resting.
Resting?
Yeah. Remarkable bird,
the Norwegian. John Cleese. Do you ever get tired of hearing skits?
No,
like this?
When we were doing the O2 show in London, this huge arena, 16,000 people, Michael and I had fun every single night because we knew that everybody knew what the lines really were, so we didn't have to do it right. So we were able to ad lib and we then segued into the cheese sketch for no reason at all.
Now, my good man, some cheese, please.
Yes, certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicesters, sir.
Never mind. How are you on Tilsit?
Never at the end of the week, sir. Always get it fresh first thing on Monday.
Tish, tish. No matter. 4 ounces of caffini, then, if you please, stout yeoman.
Ah, well, it's been on order for 2 weeks, sir. I was expecting it this morning.
Yes, it's not my day, is it?
We started making up cheeses that didn't exist, like rhinoceros milk cheese and all this kind of thing. And then we would just spend most of the last 2 minutes laughing and trying to break each other up. And the audience just loved it because they'd seen it done properly. And it was much more fun when we did it in some silly, strange way we'd never do again.
Cheese. Which was your original
cheese.
Name?
My original name, yes. I'm sorry Dad changed it, actually, because I think Cheese is a lovely name.
And funny.
Jack Cheese, I could have been.
How about, do you get tired of people who they must come up to you and say, or see you on the street and say, we are the Knights who say, nee, 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 or just, you
but
know.
I find, it happens sometimes, but I find if you punch them in the face really hard, that it's fine. They just go away, you know, so it doesn't bother me at all.
John Cleese, his book, So Anyway, is now out.
Hilarious, incidentally, Robin.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and you. Bye.